Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, it's Monty. Welcome to what I personally think is the best podcast on the internet.
I don't share your opinion.
So glad you could join me. I'm going to do another random show today where I cover a multitude of topics. I'll be playing you some cool tunes and reading some of your top tens. But I'm going to start things out today with a question from Paul Morgan, who says, "Hey, Monty, what did you think of the presidential election?"
Oh, no.
Well, Paul, you know I don't like to talk about politics on the Rockcast.
Okay, that's a lie.
But since you asked, I've got just a couple of things to say.
Here we go.
First of all, I was very happy myself about the result. And I am not ashamed to say that I did vote for Donald Trump.
You should be, but you're not.
And the truth is, not only did I have to vote for him because I did not want Hillary Clinton becoming president, I actually liked the guy the whole time. I thought he showed a lot of balls, and I thought he completely annihilated her in the debates. But did I think he was going to win? Not really. All the odds were against him. You had the entire news media in the tank for Hillary. You had all the never-Trumpers constantly bashing on him. You had the blacks and the gays constantly calling him a racist and a homophobe. And shows like Saturday Night Live made him out to be a complete buffoon, while making it look like Hillary had it in the bag and there was no way she could lose. And of course, we can't forget all those polls that we now know were all completely wrong.
Bogus.
No one ever asked me, and I doubt if they asked you, but somehow Hillary was always in the lead. And all I heard for over a year was that he had no chance. But a funny thing happened on the way to crowning Queen Hillary. And I couldn't help but sit there and laugh, thinking about all the celebrities who threatened to leave the country if Trump won. And really, if you think about it, isn't the best thing that came out of the whole election the fact that Miley Cyrus and Kanye West may move to Canada?
I say good riddance.
The thing that surprised me, though, the most of anything, wasn't Trump winning. It was the next day when all these people started protesting.
Morons!
Oh yes, here's all these millennials bawling and crying and burning flags. All because something didn't go their way. And I thought, really? Just because Trump is going to become president, you think things are going to get that bad? We just survived 8 years of the worst president ever. I think we'll all make it. I know the thought of having lower taxes is terrifying, but I think I'll cope. And trust me, just because the Republicans are going to take over, doesn't mean that blacks and gays are going to be sent to the gas chambers. Black lives are still going to matter. And I'm pretty sure that society will continue to exalt gays and transgenders to hero status. So seriously, everybody just relax. Unless you're in the United States illegally. In that case, you better watch your ass.
Damn straight.
All right, so enough politics. I also got an email from Eric in Orange County. And Eric said, "Hey, Monty, have you heard the new album by Testament?"
What a great question.
Well, yes, Eric. As a matter of fact, I have heard the New Testament album. And I would go as far as to say that everybody who is listening right now has heard the New Testament album. How do I know this?
How?
Well, because if you have heard one Testament album, you have heard them all.
Whoa!
Ha! I'm joking, of course.
No, you're not.
But seriously, I do have the New Testament album. It's called Brotherhood of the Snake. And let's check a little bit of it out.
I was
The thing with Testament is they're a great band. They write killer riffs and the guitars sound amazing. But are the songs great? I don't know. This CD just kind of makes me go, meh.
Huh?
You know what I mean? Meh.
Huh?
Meh.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
But it is what it is. I mean, it's not terrible, but I don't know that I'm going to be listening to it a ton. Okay, I've gotten kind of backlogged here lately on top 10 lists, so I better go ahead and do one right now. And as I've said before, you're welcome to send me as many top 10s as you want, and Scott Gibson took me up on my offer. I read one of his not too long ago, but he sent me another good one, and here it is. This is Scott's top 10 people that he despises. Okay, Scott, well, it sounds kind of hateful. And I'm all about the love. I think everybody knows that.
No.
I believe in compassion and love for all people.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm going to go ahead and be tolerant of you and read your list anyway.
That's a big man who can do that.
All right. And it starts out with number 10 with Hillary Clinton.
Bonafide evil.
I know. She's a liar. She's a criminal. She's a horrible person. But when you come right down to it, is she really that bad?
Yes.
All right. Number 9 is Bette Midler. Huh. Is she still around even? I don't know. But number 8 is Terrell Owens. And apparently Scott does not like his me first attitude. Number 7 is Barbara Streisand. Scott says anyone who calls for a boycott of the Boy Scouts sucks. Well, yeah, Scott. I mean, I don't like Barbara Streisand. I think she's got a great voice. But when it comes to boycotting the Boy Scouts, I might be in on that.
What?
You see, my stepson is in the Boy Scouts, and oh, God, what a pain in the ass that is for the parents.
It is torture.
You see, when I was in the Boy Scouts, my folks just dropped me off at the meeting and then picked me up afterwards. And we'd make a craft or something and hang out, and then a month later you'd have another meeting. But these days it seems like there's something going on every single week and the parents always have to be right there. And whether it's going door to door selling popcorn or spending all night on a camping trip, we've got to go through it with him. And I know it's supposed to be building characters in the little guys, but what he'd rather do than earn one of those little merit badges is hang out with his other little 9-year-old buddies and run. As in, run around with your hands flailing in the air. So yeah, Scott, you might want to rethink the whole boycotting the Boy Scouts thing. I'm just saying.
This is a sick nightmare!
Anyway, back to the list, where Scott has, at number 6, Nicki Minaj. And yeah, her ass is gigantic.
It's absolutely huge.
But at number 5, Scott has Miley Cyrus. And yeah, I kind of understand that one, because she started out on the Disney Channel, and she was kind of cute, and then she got obnoxious, and then she got super vulgar. And now these days, it's to the point where it's like, oh my God, just shut the hell up. Or at least have the decency to go make a sex tape.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we can all agree on that.
That's what I think.
All right, good. Now, number 4 is Bill Maher. And for this one, Scott has a joke. And it is, what do you call 50,000 smug liberals at the bottom of the ocean? A good start.
That's so funny.
At number 3 on Scott's list, he also despises Odell Beckham Jr. And yeah, I get that. You know, every time he scores a touchdown, he's got to take his helmet off and run around the field and act like an idiot. But I kind of blame LeBron James for all this crap. Athletes in the past have probably always been kind of cocky, but the modern-day jock is just all about himself. It's look at me. And honestly, I've just kind of gotten to the point anymore where I don't even want to watch.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, I still do watch, but I almost don't want to anymore. And that would bring us to number 2, which is Mariah Carey. And Scott says she has to be the most annoying, entitled, stuck-up, self-centered diva of all time.
She's just great.
But at number 1 on Scott's list of people he despises, it's Cam Newton. Well, for those of you who don't know who Cam Newton is, he's a football player. And yeah, I get it that he's kind of full of himself. But come on, Scott, if you're going to go that direction, where's LeBron James? How do you not hate him? I mean, what, do you live in Cleveland? Oh, well, it's not important. What is important is that I'm pretty sure you're going to be in the top 10 playoffs. Because despite the fact that your list was unnecessarily hateful, I liked it. All right, I'll try to do more top 10s later in the show, but right now I've got a couple of questions. And they come from Chris, who lives in Greece. And no, I don't mean bacon grease or something disgusting like that. I mean the country Greece. And Chris says, hey, Monty, if I order your CD Loserville, how much does it cost for shipping to send it to Greece in the mail? Well, good question, Chris, but I happen to know this one. And unfortunately, it costs about $15 to send one CD to Europe or Canada.
Yeah, so?
In other words, it costs me as much to ship the CD as I make on the CD itself.
What an incredibly lucrative thing it is.
So please, if you're ordering from overseas or in Canada, please add shipping. However, I did come up with an idea the other day. If you want to save some money on shipping and you don't really care that much about the physical CD, just email me and let me know and I can arrange to just send you the files. I'll just put them in a Dropbox or something and you can download them and put them on your computer and there we go. You don't have to wait, I don't have to go to the post office, and everyone's happy.
Whoop-dee-doo!
Now, Chris had a second question, which was, hey, Monty, how about a reunion of Galactic Cowboys? Well, I'm glad you asked, Chris, because as a matter of fact, Galactic Cowboys are working on a new CD right now.
Who knew?
And a week or two ago, I flew down to Houston once again, where we worked on yet more songs. And we've got about 14 or 15 at this point that have lyrics and they're fully arranged. And so the next step will just be to start recording them. And the plan is to have 10 or 11 to put on the album and then have a couple left over for bonus tracks. And I know a lot of you are wondering what it sounds like and you'd like me to play something, but I really can't. But what I can do is kind of tell you a little bit about the whole process and how we're going about it.
Wow, what did I do to deserve this?
Now, I know probably all bands do things differently. Sometimes one guy will write everything, and in other bands, everyone will just go into a room and they jam and come up with songs that way. But in Galactic Cowboys, we've really never had one set way. But for this album, we did a lot of collaborating. For instance, I wrote the music for about 10 or 11 new songs, and most of them had a concept to begin with, and most of them already had a chorus in place. But at that point, I had Ben fly into Kansas City, and we worked on the lyrics. And he ended up writing about 90 to 95% of the words on this album, and I'm hoping it's going to add to a whole new intensity to our sound. Because, you know, when you're singing words that you wrote, I think you have a tendency to believe in them a little more. But most of the stuff that I wrote the music for is more on the metal side of things, pretty heavy, and it slams. But don't worry, there's also going to be some slower tunes, not to say that they're going to be mellow altogether. But Dane and Ben wrote kind of a ballad type thing that we've worked on as a band in the studio, and it turned out really cool. And Alan brought in a couple of things, one of which is a slower tune. And of course, I always have to write at least one power ballad.
Wimpy.
So we'll see what happens when we start recording these songs. Because a lot of times when you start working on them in the studio, some songs that you think are going to be great don't turn out to be that great. And then others just come to life, and those are the ones you want to put on the CD. But I think we've got a lot of really strong material to work with, and I cannot wait to go back down and hear it start coming all together. But as always, I had a great time hanging out with those guys while I was down in Houston. And really, we probably get along better now than we did back in 1990. When we first got together, like around 89, we'd only been together about 6 months, and we got signed to a major record deal. And so everything happened really fast. And things like jealousy and resentment started to creep in after a while. And by the time Geffen dropped us after the second album, I don't know that we even liked each other that much. But a lot of time has passed since then, and I think we've all matured a lot. And now it's just like, hey, let's have some fun. Let's just enjoy this and appreciate every moment of it. And so that's what we're doing. But you know, I thought it'd be fun to go back and look at a couple of the old songs off the first album. And so how about I do a little segment of Monty's Total Breakdown. I can't remember if I've ever done a breakdown of this song or not, but if so, I'm gonna do it again. It's called Pump Up the Spacesuit, and it's one of those songs where we were all just standing around in the practice room and we just kinda started jamming. And I was playing that bass riff thinking that it was probably gonna make a good thrash song, but Alan kicked in with the drums and Dane started playing a Chili Peppers kinda funky thing, and that led to Ben just kinda rapping. I'm not sure where the pump up the spacesuit line came from, but more than likely it came off the top of Ben's head. And the song itself could have just been one of those things that we played once and never played again. But instead we ended up recording it and putting it on the first album, and since then I think we've done it in every show we've ever done. It's just one of those fun songs that the crowd really enjoys. And back when we were touring with Dream Theater, even Mike Portnoy would come on stage and sing the gang vocals with us. So get your space suit and pump it up. The next song is Speak to Me. I've had a lot of you guys on Facebook say you liked this song, so this is for you. And this tune started out when one day I was sitting on my sofa in my living room playing an acoustic guitar. And it was a time when I was searching for answers and I was kind of wondering what was going to happen with the rest of my life. And being that I was kind of spiritual back then, I often said, "Hey God, would you please speak to me?" And though I never actually heard God literally say anything to me, I did come up with what turned out to be the guts for a pretty good song. And so I took it into the practice room, and kind of like I've been doing on this album, I showed it to Ben and said, "Hey, would you have any words for the verses?" And so Ben sat down with a pen and paper and worked on it for a little bit. And after a while, he came up with the first line. And it was, trying to think what it was now.
"It's 3 o'clock in the morning, for crying out loud."
Oh, that's right. 3 o'clock in the morning.
3 o'clock in the morning. Voice inside my head. I'm wide awake. I should be sleeping. Voice alive or dead. Someone screaming. The call. A messenger I should be knowing. Voice inside my head. Made it through another year. Crying yet another tear. Pondering the endless questions of life."
So it started out being a little acoustic song, but by the time we got out of the studio with it, it was a 10-minute epic. We added a big, heavy middle section to it and even threw in some cellos at one point. And that's the way our first album would end. Or was it the end? Well, no, it wasn't. I'm not sure what possessed us to do this, but we started playing this jazz thing. And then I got in the vocal booth and started reading a high school lunch menu.
"This is incredibly stupid."
"Good morning, students. The Tompkins 5 School District lunch menu for today. Shepherd's pie, breaded carrot, and raisin cup."
You see, when I was in high school in Nevada, Missouri, every morning I would get up before school, go in and turn the radio on, and I would hear this guy read the lunch menu for that day. And only God knows why, but we thought it would be a good idea for me to do an impersonation of that guy and end our debut album with that.
"Seasoned green beans, fudge sickles, a cookie, half pint of cold milk, and for the Catholic students, fish."
This is a level of stupidity that you can't even begin to fathom.
Oh my God, what were we thinking? Well, we probably weren't, but believe it or not, a lot of people seem to enjoy that.
No, they didn't.
As ridiculous as it was, it kind of set a tone for who we were. Because we were Galactic Cowboys, we were talented, we were kind of heavy, we were kind of melodic, and above all, we were kind of weird. And you never know what to expect from us. Hey. Now, I know you all realize that I don't like to complain.
Not true.
But has this ever happened to any of you guys? I'll be sitting there on my computer, like maybe checking my email or something, and all of a sudden I'll hit the wrong button. Except I don't know what button it is that I hit. But suddenly everything changes and I can't get back to where I was. And so I have to spend the next half hour trying to fix it. And I'll admit it, I'm not the smartest person when it comes to computers.
No!
Yeah, I know, hard to believe. But it would be so much easier if these people who are making the software would just quit changing things. It's kind of like Apple. Every time I get used to something in iTunes that they've changed, they change it again. And I think they're just doing it to screw with me. Because honestly, about 5 years ago, I was fine with it the way it was. And now they have successfully gotten it to where I hate it. So thank you, Apple, for all the updates. What used to be incredibly easy is now very difficult.
Ah!
Now, another thing that bugs me, and I've talked about it before, it's the family cat, Mr. Kitty. I didn't want this animal in the first place, but I'm stuck with him. And he continues to take his jagged little claws and rip up the carpet. And every time I see him do this, I yell at him and he runs. The problem is, I don't always see him do this, and he does it when I'm gone. And so he doesn't get yelled at every time he does it. Therefore, when he does get yelled at by me, he doesn't get it. He just looks at me like, "What? You want to play?" And I'm like, "No, I hate you. You suck." And he looks around like, I don't know what his problem is. I do this all the time. No one yells at me. And so he just doesn't understand at all and continues to shred the whole house.
How precious is that?
And my wife doesn't even seem to mind because she thinks he's adorable no matter what he does. And one weird thing that she likes to do is dress him up in kitty sweaters. And Mr. Kitty just hates this. He like sits there like he's paralyzed. And Lindsay will just start laughing hysterically. And the other day she says to me, I'm going to order him another sweater. And I said, why? He hates those things. And she says, well, this is a special Christmas kitty sweater. And I'm like, oh my God, well, how much does this cost? And she says, $30.
Yeah.
And I find this very interesting, coming from the same woman who, if our cable bill goes up 10 bucks, says, I'm not going to take this. Or if I say, hey, how about we just eat out tonight? She says, oh, I don't know. We ate out last night. Not sure we can afford that.
Excuse me?
But all that to say, I am married to a very awesome woman.
Uh-huh.
And if she occasionally needs to buy a kitty sweater, I say, okay.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you another thing. Lindsay's not only a good wife, she's a good mom. And being a parent these days is not exactly easy. And one of the main reasons is technology. And this is going to sound crazy, but I don't think any kid under the age of 18 has any use for a cell phone or a computer.
Yeah, this is child abuse.
But for some reason, society has suddenly decided that it's not only okay, but it's a requirement. I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
I think so. Explain that to me.
Well, for example, we didn't want Lindsay's teenage daughter going on the internet unsupervised. But when she went back to school this year, we found out that all students would be issued laptops and there wasn't a damn thing we could do about it. And I thought, oh, well, isn't that great? I mean, we couldn't even trust Hillary Clinton to behave herself with email. You really think a 16-year-old isn't going to do something shady when no one's looking? Thank God I didn't have access to a computer when I was that age. I would have said, hey, Mom, I'm going to do my homework. And then I would have never left my room. But hey, even adults make bad decisions. For instance, the other night we went to a school play that the boy was in. And we're sitting there waiting for it to start, and we see this parent walk in, and on his neck, he has a tattoo of the Kansas City Royals baseball team's logo.
Ah!
Yeah, he literally has Royals tattooed on his neck. And don't get me wrong, I love the Royals. I'm a huge fan. And I appreciate his loyalty to that baseball organization. But as Lindsay would point out as she whispered into my ear as this guy walked by, you know, they do make baseball caps. And call me crazy, but if they start sucking here in a couple of years, you may end up wishing that you had just opted for a t-shirt.
That's a brilliant point, is it not?
All right, enough of my complaining. I've got some more questions from you guys. And here's one from Coon in Canada.
Say what?
Yes, that's apparently the way you say his name. Coon.
Dude, you're so racist!
It's spelled K-O-E-N, and I always thought it was Cohen, but no, Cohen says it's Coon. So I'm going to call him Coon.
You are therefore a fan of the KKK, and you're a racist.
Anyway, Cohen's a big fan of Galactic Cowboys, and he says, "Hey, Monty, when Galactic was looking for a record deal, which record company showed interest?" Well, good question, Coon. Before we ever got signed, I think we'd only been together a few months, we went on a tour opening for King's X. And before we even finished that tour, Megaforce Records, which also had King's X, wanted to sign us, like, immediately. But our manager told us, "No, let's wait, I'm going to shop you around." And we ended up doing a showcase, and I think about 10 labels showed up. And I know Metal Blade was one of them. They wanted to sign us. But, of course, there were a couple that weren't interested at all. I remember one guy told our manager, "Yeah, those guys don't know what they're doing."
That's probably right.
But the guy who eventually did was named Gary Gersh, and he came the night before, and he was from Geffen, and he ended up freaking out and loving us. And why did we sign with them? Well, the answer is quite simple, actually. Because they offered us $750,000.
That's it?
Yeah, that, and, you know, they promised us we were going to be the biggest band in the world.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Gary Gersh also signed Nirvana, and we know how that went.
Yeah.
But that would lead me to Coon's next question, which was, "Hey, Monty, when a company drops a band such as happened to you guys, do you still owe them money, or do they owe you money?" Well, Coon, the deal with us was that, you know, we signed with Geffen, and they gave us advances, which meant we got a big hunk of money to record the album. And the idea is that once the album comes out and the record company recoups all that money that they've advanced you, then you can start making money on royalties. But we never sold enough albums for Geffen to recoup, so we never saw any of that. So all we ever got was the advance money. And most of that was just eaten up by making the album. But no, we never had to pay any of it back, and I imagine what Geffen did was just use us as a tax write-off.
That's a colossal failure.
Now, Coon also sent me a top 10 list, but unfortunately, it was a top 10 list of his favorite non-English metal songs. And I'm sorry, dude, I can't pronounce any of these names. And so I'm afraid I'm going to have to pass on your list.
How dare you?
Yeah, maybe you could send me another one that's not so difficult.
You jerk.
But trust me, Coon, it has nothing to do with the fact that you live in Canada. I have nothing against Canadians. In fact, I've got another top 10 list here from one of my favorite Canadian listeners, Chris Archer. And this is his top 10 guilty pleasure bands or albums. In other words, this is stuff that Chris likes, but he's kind of ashamed to admit it. But really, man, there's no need to feel guilty. We all like different kinds of stuff, and you just like what you like. This is the Rockcast. I'm Monty Colvin. I have a very open mind, and I do not judge. So with that in mind, let's check out your list. It starts out at number 10 with Presidents of the United States of America. Well, all right, I get that. I liked Lump. Number 2 is Paul Williams. Wow, that's that little short guy, right? All right, number 8 is Gilbert O'Sullivan.
What the hell is that?
Okay, I'm a little confused here. Number 7, Terry Jacks and the Poppy Family.
There's no way.
Oh my God, is that the guy that did Seasons in the Sun?
I think it is.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. All right, let's move on. Number 6, Boney M. Must be some kind of rap thing.
That's right.
Number 5 is Michael Jackson, Thriller. All right. Well, I can kind of get that. But number four is Faster Pussycat. And number three is Enough's Enough.
Oh, my God.
Oh, somebody likes hair metal. All right, whatever. Number two is the Bee Gees, From the 60s to the Present. Oh, well, thank God you didn't leave out the Saturday Night Fever era.
Nah.
Yeah, well, you gotta love disco, right?
Not.
I mean, jeez. Okay, but that would bring us to number one on Chris's list of guilty pleasures, and it would be ABBA.
You cannot be serious!
Oh my God, well, all I can say, Chris, is man, that took some guts. I mean, to send your list to me and have me read it on the Rockcast that plays all kinds of kick-ass metal? I mean, are you serious? I mean, sure, I also like ABBA, but I'm not going to admit it.
So I would never do that.
I mean, sure, they had amazing harmonies, great production, catchy hooks, and you can't really go wrong with two hot chicks from Sweden, but I would never actually play it on the Rockcast.
Absolutely not.
I mean, come on. All right, what's going on? Why is that playing? Okay, obviously I hit the wrong button and played an ABBA song. I'm sorry. But you know, where else are you going to be able to hear ABBA and a review of the new Metallica CD? Well, the answer is nowhere else except the Rockcast. And as you probably already know, there is a new Metallica album. It's called Hardwired to Self-Destruct. And I got it the other day, and I haven't had a lot of chances to listen to it. In fact, I've only really listened to it all the way through about once. But to be honest, I don't know that I'm going to listen to it a whole lot more than once.
Yikes.
Kind of like I was on the Testament album, I don't think it sucks. But I personally found a lot of it to be kind of sleep-inducing.
Boring!
There's some songs on here that remind me of the old thrash Metallica. And then there's other songs that sound like they could have come off the Black Album or Load or Reload or whatever those were.
A load of crap.
Some of the negatives for me on this album are the arrangements. Seems like a lot of the intros are just too long, and it felt to me like some of these songs could have been shorter. And I also didn't think this album sounded all that great. Maybe it's just personal preference, but I didn't even think the guitars sounded like all that heavy. In fact, I thought Testament's album sounded better. I guess the true test for me is if these guys go on tour, do I want to hear any of these songs live? And the answer is no. I would still rather hear Battery than anything else they've done in the last 25 years or more.
Don't be all nitpicky.
So I can't really give this CD a thumbs up yet, but maybe it'll grow on me. So far, the only song that's really grabbed me is this one. It's called Moth Into Flame.
Moth into the flame.
I'm going to wrap things up by telling you what I've been watching on TV here lately. And one show that I always watch, even though I hate it, is the American Music Awards. And I know you're saying to yourself right now, geez, Monty, I'm confused. Is this the Grammys you're talking about, or the MTV Music Awards, or possibly the Billboard Awards? But no, this is the AMAs.
What are you talking about?
You know, it's the award show that has the trophy that looks like a big crystal spike that could possibly poke your eye out.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
Okay, well, it's like 3 hours long, and all the awards are based on sales and not actually how good the music is.
I have never seen that before.
Well, I guess the best way to describe this is, it's a TV show, and it's supposed to be about music, but more than anything, it's just a good excuse to fill an arena full of liberals and have them take some cheap shots at Donald Trump and spill some nonstop political propaganda.
I think I have seen that, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching the Democratic Convention or CNN.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if it's one thing I love, it's being lectured by a celebrity or a dumbass supermodel. For instance, I had no idea that it was Transgender Awareness Month.
It is?
And we all just need to love each other and be tolerant and inclusive of all people. Unless you are in one of those red states. In that case, you can go to hell.
Screw them!
Now, I'm not going to bore you with all the details or give you the highlights because there were none. The best way to view this terrible television show is to record it and then fast forward through all the Nicki Minaj.
I'm about to vomit.
Like usual, there was some rap with some country mixed in there, but no hard rock or metal whatsoever. However, they did have time to give the Electronic Dance Music Award, which was won by somebody called the Chainsmokers. And to give you an idea of just how awful this show was, the finalists for Artist of the Year included Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez. But the winner, get this, was Ariana Grande.
Are you kidding?
Nope, I am totally serious. But fortunately, there was some other stuff on TV. Like on the AXS channel, I saw a documentary about Jethro Tull. And God, I forgot how much I loved that band.
So I took a journey, threw my world into the sea. With me went the teacher, who found fun instead of me. Hey man, what's the plan? What was that you said? Suntan, drinking headlines there in bed. I tried to socialize.
Ah, that brings back the memories when I was in high school riding around in my Ford Galaxy, cranking that on my 8-track.
This man needs to be sent to a nursing home.
I also watched an episode of World's Greatest Tribute Bands, and it's exactly what it sounds like it is. Each week they have a tribute band and they show them playing live. And the one I saw was a tribute to The Who. And I gotta say, they sounded really good. They pulled the songs off well. And the singer sounded and looked like Roger Daltrey. But being that I'm a big Who fan, I did have a couple of criticisms. Like the drummer, he played really well, but if you're gonna be Keith Moon, you gotta be a maniac. And if you're portraying an early Pete Townsend, there's gotta be a lot of jumping. And I'll be honest, I just didn't see it.
Oh, that was harsh.
I also saw a couple of shows on the Audience Network that were interviews with Butch Walker, of all people. And you probably know who he is by now. A great producer, he's an excellent guitar player, frontman, all that. But he started out in a hair metal band called South Gang. And like me, in the early 90s, when the whole grunge thing happened, his band got dropped by their label. And after South Gang broke up, he started another band called The Marvelous Three. And I loved The Marvelous Three. They only did two albums, but I was way into them when I was doing my first crunchy album. And so I'm going to end this episode with a great song from them called Freak of the Week. It's just some really cool power pop type stuff, and I hope you enjoy it.
Get it over with!
If you want to get a hold of me, you can do so on Facebook or on my website, MontyColvin.net, where you can find my CDs, t-shirts, and paintings. And don't forget, if you order yourself a Rockcast t-shirt, I'll throw in a crunchy CD for free.
Is this ever going to end?
But that's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back soon with more fun and mayhem. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
That I got, cause all the geeks that I meet, they all look cooler than me. But what to do when they're all looking at you? Cause you're the freak of the week, cause you're on the TV. Can you make me a promise? Stop it before we begin. Will you hold on to my head if I ever lose it again? I got a shrink, I swear he's Elvis, I think. He wears the coolest suede shoes when I come in with the blues. He thinks it's all about culture and art, but the truth of it is that it rips me apart. Can you make me a promise? Stop it before we begin. Will you hold on to my head if I ever lose it again?
This has been Monty's Rockcast.
What a great big huge giant letdown.